Now to a worldwide phenomenon known as Generation Rent. It's a term used to describe people in their 20s and 30s, even older, who'll never be able to afford their own homes. Research from Melbourne has found that permanent renting is becoming a way of life for many Australians. More work is being done in this area by the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute, and in trying to find out what we may need to do to enhance better housing futures for young generations. The Institute's director is Dr. Wendy Stone, and she's with us now. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Oh, good morning, James. Thank you for that. And I'll just clarify, we're part of the Uhuru Network, what's known as that Australian Housing and Urban Research Network. And our node is based at Swinburne University. And you're right, we have been undertaking a program of work around this and related issues. Where we've come to see this as a very significant and important emerging issue is a program of work we've been undertaking over a number of years, which basically documents the extent to which a whole lot of people are being locked out of the home ownership market, given the very high rises in prices we've seen in the last decade or more, as well as the contracting of other support systems, which might once have helped people at the very sort of lower income end of things, such as social housing and public housing. So all of a sudden we have this sort of high pressure in the private rental sector, which is changing the picture, and it's changing the picture in the housing system for young people as well as for people who may once have been able to sort of move between tenures. So they may have bought their first home, potentially divorced, been able to re-enter more easily. I guess one of the major things we're seeing for Gen Y and Gen X, we can think about Generation X as having been a bit of a canary down the coal mine, if you like, where this is the first generation that experienced the deregulation of the finance market, the deregulation of the labour market. And the impact of that for Gen X has been, coupled with other sort of broader context, has been a decline in the rate of entry to home ownership. And a number of years ago, when this started to emerge around the late 1990s, there was debate around whether this was simply a lifestyle choice taking over or whether there was a permanent lockout effect. And what we're seeing is certainly a greater recognition, I think, in Australia of the advantages and flexibility of the private rental sector for lots of reasons and for lots of the population at various times. But overwhelmingly, preferences are still for home ownership in Australia.
Yes, but do those preferences for home ownership supersede the preference for wanting to stay in an area, say, where housing is unaffordable? I mean, a lot of younger people want to live closer to the city, or they want to live closer to work, or they don't want to move to a place where they may have to buy where it's more affordable.
Yeah, you're picking up on a really a key issue here around this, the way this is playing out geographically. I think you're right. One of the parts of work that we're trying to do at the moment is to just tease out how exactly this is working and for which groups. Trading off amenity and services and transport and access to jobs is a really big part of the picture that's emerging for many people in Australia. And I think you're right, younger people who can remain closer to services and amenity are choosing to do that. That tends to change around the time people want to nest down and have children, if they do that. And as a society, we still tend to want to have something like good access to parkland at a minimum, but more likely that sort of home dream in Australia, which is having a backyard, a neighbourhood in which children can ride their bikes and that kind of thing. And that inevitably means moving out. And increasingly that means moving away from good transport and from jobs and lots of commuting hours.
But it was always that way in many respects, wasn't it?
Yes and no. I guess We've reached the end of the train line, and we're moving beyond. If you like to think of it like that, people may once have felt that they were moving further on, but the picture is definitely different now. In real terms, Gen Y in particular are doing it much tougher now. They have insecure jobs, largely, even for very highly professionally trained people. There's no guarantee of ongoing permanency in employment anymore. That makes it hard to take on the debt and the risk associated with that to afford that good amenity in the city. And where people can get mortgages, that's now going to be increasingly with the help of family. There's a real need to look at the generational distribution of wealth and housing wealth between the baby boomer population and younger generations. So what we have at the moment is a situation where baby boomers are approaching retirement or just retiring with, not for everybody by a long stretch, but on average, a greater level of wealth than we have seen for that kind of age and stage of life in Australia in history, really. And at the same time, the children and potentially grandchildren of that generation are in many cases absolutely struggling. And at a policy level and as a society, there's a need at the moment to think about, well, what do we mean by intergenerational equity in housing terms? Do we care about this? Do we care that people in younger generations will not have the same types of access to housing and home and the security, wealth creation, and that basic foundation in their life that earlier generations have had access to? And are we going to do something about it?
Okay, Dr. Wendy Stone, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
And Dr. Stone is the director of the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute at Melbourne's Swinburne University.